Let's get ready for work.
Think of employment like a relationship. Whether you're in one or not, it's still fun to hear about other people's. Or you can be in a perfectly comfortable place and kick back and laugh at other people's chaos.
One part humor, one part inspiration. That's the best way to describe this special edition of Ready for Work with comedian Roy Wood Jr.
Ready for Work is a podcast powered by ACT, showcasing excellence and innovation throughout the workforce ecosystem. Jason Jones hosts this journey with trends and ideas to help your region's workforce reach its highest potential.
Let's get ready for work.
Episode 28 kicks off our third season of Ready for Work with a fun perspective on the role of humor in workforce development. Our guest is comedian Roy Wood Jr., a correspondent on Comedy Central's hit The Daily Show and host of Roy's Job Fair, a podcast that explores the human condition through the prism of employment. Roy's famed humor is matched by his true empathy and curiosity for people. Roy, thanks for joining us on Ready for Work.
All right, I am officially ready.
While enjoying the humor and inspiration of the podcast, the segments that focus on getting people back to work really seem to help listeners. Clearly, there is a personal touchstone, including the serious segments on how to find, get, and keep a job. What was your catalyst for including that balance of humor and public service?
It's something that I think I took away from The Daily Show, in that you kind of have to hide the vitamins in the dog food as best you can a little bit, you know.
For sure.
Employment inherently is a boring topic. Let me rephrase that. The opportunities to make employment don't present themselves as frequently as other podcast discussions, because when you think about the things that connect us, right? To me, we have, I believe, three connections, maybe four if you count religion, but food, relationships, and providing. I wouldn't even say sports, because not everybody has a favorite sport. There's a lot of people that hate sports, but you have a favorite food. You have a desire to be close to someone, something, and you have to every day figure out a way to get money that pays for those other two things. And so, you know, food has a whole network. Relationships have a whole thing. That every employment show that you see, it's just numbers and graphs and some stock market stuff or whatever. But I wanted to tell funny stories just about work and give people a place to kind of, you know, vent a little bit. And that's kind of where the idea came last year. But the need for there to be vitamins in it, you know, unemployment, when we were peak COVID, you know, we were almost at 30 million people out of work. And then even more people were pivoting and finally doing things that they never thought that they would have the time or the courage to do. So what are those stories? Who are those people? You know, there needs to be a place for people to share that stuff, so that ultimately other people who are thinking about making that jump can make the jump too. It's a true story. I won't name the state, but I have a colleague who, up until the shutdown, he was a lobbyist for the marijuana industry for the legalization of marijuana in his particular state. Shutdown happens. No more restaurants. No more hanging out. No more close contact. He became a gospel singer. Like, that was in you the whole time? Man, you were selling weed a month ago. And so that pivot to just make that jump, to find that thing that you had always wanted to do, but it never quite... It's easy to come up with reasons why you shouldn't. It's very easy to flood your mind with that stuff. But the reasons why you should... Maybe that needs to come from other people from time to time. So I decided to do a podcast, and then to balance it, I also have segments where people come on and tell me about stuff they stole from their job. I like a good scam.
Oh, that's so true. Well, I never thought of it that way. Good point.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in one episode, we could have someone come on and talk about, you know, extensively about the opportunities in the tech industry and why you don't need a college degree to learn tech, and why tech industries are hiring a lot of coders who could just prove that they can do the job. And this woman came on and gave resources and places where you could learn things that could get you placement in real Fortune. We're talking six-figure jobs here. Same episode, I had a guy come on and say he quit working at Long John Silver's because his manager kept having sex with the cashier in the deep freezer. It's about balance, Jason.
Yeah, you got that right, Roy.
Balance.
Your recent interview with Alabama Media was full of enthusiasm to help your fellow Alabamans find meaningful employment. With that passion in mind, Roy, what are you seeing across the country that motivates you for opportunities at home and across the U.S.?
I don't think anybody's going to help Alabama except for people in Alabama, if I'm going to be blunt with you. Because they love to write us off. They love to come up with 40 reasons to, you know. Meanwhile, in Georgia, you have the entire state mobilizing for voting and stuff like that. And well, then duh, if there's good people over there, then there's good people over here. And so, you know, I just don't believe that anyone is going to come help the state. And I think if you're in the state and you have any good ideas or you think that you have something positive to contribute, then seeing other people step up, I think it's beneficial. You know, I yell Alabama a bunch on TV when I'm on TV, but it's not always because I love Alabama. It's to kind of rally people in Alabama to go, hey, you can be from Alabama and get to here. And then turn around and help people back at home. You know, I had an opportunity to kick it with the people over at Workshops Inc. And they are, the work that they do is just downright amazing. So to be able to try and, you know, do a little fundraising for them and stuff like that and do comedy shows and things like that, stuff is all, I don't know, man. I just know at the end of whatever this entertainment thing is that I'm doing, that I'm just going to be a dude in Birmingham, and I don't want it to suck when I come back home. And, you know, there's also this idea that the other thing I've learned, you know, in the last 2-3 years, you know, in terms of just workforce development in the state of Alabama, is just how interconnected the state is as a whole, which is kind of naive of me to say, but you grow up very centrally focused. It's Birmingham, 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 Birmingham. And then the moment I tried to bring a sitcom to the state with Comedy Central, and we were trying to create jobs in the form of film and television, we realized, oh, well, there's no training for film and crew here. And to really take advantage of the state incentives, you have to hire local. Well, you can't be local film and crew if there's nowhere to train on film. All right, well, then we need a place to teach film and crew. All right, well, who can do it? And the next thing you know, I'm halfway down the road to Montevallo. And then the next thing you know, I'm in Montgomery, you know, talking with the people with AIDT. And so now everybody at AIDT is going, well, we can do the classes, but, you know, there's community colleges that really need it. So maybe we should have this set up in different places across the state so the people across the state have it. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Hey, did you know that Huntsville is growing faster than Birmingham, and Huntsville has all these tech jobs? So maybe there's a place for graphic design and editing and things like that. So the next thing you know, it's like, oh, my God, the whole state is connected. It's like Avatar, where everybody locked dreadlocks and got the knowledge from each other. So yeah, that's probably been the biggest discovery, just in kind of going back and forth with people in the state. It's just what exactly is connected to what. And there's a lot of politics involved in that I won't bore you with, but navigating that is also going to be integral.
That's a great point to drive home, Roy. The synergy of connectedness in a workforce ecosystem.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some synergy in that.
You're listening to Ready for Work from ACT.
Ready for Work.
Let's have some fun with this one, Roy. What job is more rewarding, Baskin Robbins or The Daily Show?
Ooh. Baskin-Robbins is less stressful than The Daily Show, for sure.
Ooh, I never thought of it that way. Good point.
Daily Show's not stressful all the time, but when it's stressful, bro, it is. Oh, my God. We did a piece on gun violence in Chicago, shadowing this organization of Black volunteers who patrolled the South Side and network with gang members to defuse violence. And we walked with them block to block until about sundown, because at the end of the day, in spite of my skin color, I have a camera with me. So pulling out a camera in the hood is the same as pulling out a gun. Watch where you point it, and why are you here? So the longer we stayed, the more tense it became, and eventually it was time to go. And it never got ugly, but you know when you've overstayed your welcome. And it ended up being an amazing piece, and a very worthwhile piece, and we raised a lot of money for Ceasefire. Daily Show's more rewarding because it's the only time I've had people come up to me in the street, and instead of telling me I think you're funny, they tell me thank you, which is a weird compliment to start fielding, because, you know, I never set out to believe anything that I was doing was I'm gonna change it. Hey, it's some bullshit going on over there. I'm gonna crack a couple jokes about it, and maybe you'll learn a little bit about the BS that's happening. That's all we've ever tried to do at The Daily Show, and, you know, maintain a comedy first mandate. You know, I don't know. It's been a very, very fun time.
You have a diverse audience, Roy, from the person down on their luck all the way to those already employed and simply listening for entertainment value. When you reach your audience through humor, what is it that you want them to take away?
I think at the end of the day, you know, the only thing I've tried to accomplish with my humor, with anything that I've done, is to just get you to look at the world through a different prism. Every single thing that I've done has been done in the spirit of, I know you see it as A and B, but let's look at it as C. You know, and so that's what, you know, even now with the new thing that we're doing of a project with Fox, where, you know, I'm playing a National Guardsman, and the bigger impetus for this show is essentially, it's not about the Guard itself as much as it is about, if you look at the National Guard as an entity, their only function in life is to show up and be America's Band-Aid. And they are there to stop the bleeding on problems that generally flow from things that are far more systemic and point to a level of government malfeasance. I almost said malfunction, that too. That if you really look at it like that, they show up to stop things that could have been prevented in the first place. With the exception of a hurricane. It's so much wider spread than that. So I just think it's a fun way to be able to explore the human condition through the people who respond to that. That's all I'm trying to do with my comedy.
I love your approach about using one part humor and one part inspiration. How do you shape a very serious topic like unemployment into something so amusing?
I think if you think of employment like a relationship, whether you're in one or not, it's still fun to hear about other people's. And it's still fun to get tips. It's still fun to have this level of relatability to past relationships and your current relationship. Do you want to change? Here's ways to make your relationship better. 20 tips that'll blow her mind. I just think when you think of relationships like that, then employment is no different. It's our relationship with providing, either for yourself or for your family. And so you can be in a low place and be alone and know that you're not alone. Or you can be in a perfectly comfortable place and kick back and laugh at other people's chaos. You know, like, I think that part of it is fun, you know. And even if you have a great job, I think it's still dope to be able to interact and hear deeper conversations about what other people are doing at their job. And, you know, like, there's things that I've learned that it's just interesting to learn about. You know, I've been out of the workforce for so long. Like, the last time I applied for a job, you brought a physical resume with you. And now it's how to beat the algorithm. We just had a gentleman on a recent episode where we're talking about ways and words that you need to put in your resume and how frequently those words should appear just for the sake of making sure that your resume is seen by someone. Just for it to get looked at, the game changes. So if you're that person that's at a job, but you're thinking about pivoting, that might be something you need to know. And even if you are happy at your job, it's like, you know, it's, you know what it's like? It's like being in a good relationship and seeing a couple fighting through a window in a restaurant. You just go, wow, I'm glad I'm not them. And it's still a good show.
For sure.
I think what we do at The Daily Show is just always been able to find jokes that don't exist with the pain of the issue. There are a lot of painful things that happen in this world, but if you're slick about it, you can find jokes in the causation of the thing, or you can find jokes on where the solutions may lie or who the people are that are blocking the solutions from happening. You can find jokes in things like that, and I just think it's about being very careful to not punch down as well. And I think, you know, for as long as we're able to do that, I think the recipe has worked thus far.
That's great advice, Roy. We need to be as relatable as we can to those we serve. Thinking big picture, what is your hope for fellow Alabamans?
I want fellow Alabamians to lift each other up, you know, as best we can, you know, and I know that that's a very broad statement, but I do think that this is a state that whether they like it or not, whether you like it or not, you're going to get kicked and drugged into the present. When I found out about the racial demographics in Huntsville over the last 10 to 15 years and just how much darker the racial demo has gotten in Huntsville and how much more culturally eclectic Huntsville is now, that blew my mind. And so that's now. That future is now. So, you know, I think ultimately it's important that people really look at their neighbor as their ally and, you know, and not as their enemy. You know, I don't believe that any of us can solve all the problems in the state. You know, that's something that I don't co-sign on. I don't believe in, I've got to fight for every single cause. I don't have time. I don't have the bandwidth. Pick one thing and work where you can to solve that issue. For me in the state of Alabama, it's jobs. That's it. All right, how can I make some jobs? What's an industry that could work here? Oh, film and TV. Ooh, I know how to do that. All right, let me see if I can get some film and TV down here. So that's my thing. I know that there's crime. Also illiteracy in poor neighborhoods. I work some with I See Me Incorporated. I have to give a shout out to Devin Frazier, their CEO. You know, they put books by black authors in the hands of black children so that they can see themselves and, you know, dream and achieve, which technically is tied to employment. So it still all kind of fits under the banner of what I really give a damn about. I just think you just have to pick one thing and be passionate about it. You know, it's a colony of bees, and each group of bees has a role. You know, your drone, be a drone. You know, some bees are in charge of the air conditioning. Some bees are in charge of getting the pollen. You know, pick a job and help the whole colony work.
In order to meet that mission, how might you recommend to educators and workforce professionals the best way to reach those who can use these services?
I think social media is a great asset. I think showing people what you've done instead of what you're about to do. I've seen other places in the state where I feel like engaging people where they are through social and having a more deliberate social media strategy and plan of attack to engage people is important. It's very important. And like, you have to study that. You have to study when to post and where to post and what type of and how long the video should be. There's a lot of ticky-ticky gibberish with that, but it is worth it, because if you're trying to reach the people who need it, especially if they aren't working, a lot of them are on social media looking for the opportunities that you're providing. You know, we spoke with a woman. They're based in, I think, Santa Ana, California. They're expanding to Dayton. But basically what their company does, they pay you to learn coding so that you can then go get a job. Because most people can't get a job because they don't have the time or the money or the space to go and get the education. Well, instead of working 40 hours this week, work 35, use those extra five to get paid, and you don't miss any money. Or you don't miss as much money, at least. And she was talking to us about it. We ended up taking that part out of the podcast, but she was just talking about how just building the awareness of it. Sometimes just literally going out to community centers and still putting, pressing the flesh, which brings me to the second, is that it's also important to get out, press the flesh, and meet people where they are.
Ready for work.
Amplifying voices of excellence in the workforce ecosystem.
Roy, in your experience, what do you think employers need to do to inspire the best in people, especially with the new challenges of remote work?
I think you have to encourage people. I think you have to give people the space to learn and not be over the shoulder. I think more importantly, though, you know, in my opinion, at any job, the most important employees are the mid-levels, because they're the arm and the voice of the company, and they're the ones that are going to be in contact day to day with the people that are, you know, further down the ladder. And so I think it's very important to keep those people motivated, because as they go, the spirit and the morale of their team goes. If you want to have an inspired platoon, you have to make sure that your sergeant major is inspired. Because if his morale is low, he has nothing in the tank to transfer to the private first class, to the corporal, to the private. So you need those people to be as motivated as everyone is below them. And I think that's, you know, and that's very difficult in a digital world, virtual world. You know, companies have been trying, God bless them. I've been booked for Zoom comedy shows for corporations, and it's weird. And, you know, like even with the Daily Show, you know, we do little coffee mixers and game nights, and it's fun. And as an employee, I would also say, make sure you take part in all of that stuff. Don't fall too deep into just being remote just because you can be away from everybody. There's still people that you have to grow with.
We know the pandemic made worse what was already tough for working learners in need. What might we do differently to reach those most in need of our services?
I think it's very much in just normalizing the need for information. The problem is that there's what I hope that we get into is removing the stigma from unemployment. There's so much pride in working and being a worker. I work my job. That if you don't have a job, there's this weird, well, what's wrong with you? That's attached to kind of like the way they do people who aren't married by a certain age in the South. You know, people just look at you different for no reason, and neither are justified. So this idea that you may have been a great worker and you may have been furloughed, there's nothing wrong with coming in and seeking that help and assistance. Like, that's perfectly, perfectly fine. And I think knowing, broadcasting that, and that you're not alone in this, to me, that's the most important thing, is that, hey, it ain't just you. It's about 20 million, 25 million people right now. So come on down here before someone else takes the job that should have been for you. You know, you're going to miss out on something, you know, is probably, you know, a different approach. I just think it's about celebrating new horizons instead of mourning the lost ones, just in terms of how we frame the message, you know, to a degree, you know, because, you know, jobs are, if you look back through your life and if you look at your life through employment, each job takes you to a different mental plane or to a different level of your own personal evolution. And so in a way, it's, hey, come find your next iteration of yourself. Yeah, literally that. Come write your next chapter. Get paid some money to do it.
One of the tools we often use with working learners is a career pathway. For those starting at the beginning, Roy, what do you recommend to build a pathway for success?
I think taking in as much information as you can from multiple places about whatever it is you're curious about. Find people that are trying to do it, find people that have done it, and see where you can find the similarities in their ideologies. You know, if it's not necessarily a person you can lock in on, then lock in on the occupation. And then find people in that field who have spoken on it. Every single job has somebody prominent. And you could go online right now and just search oil derrick worker. And I bet you there's 4 interviews from some guy happy to walk you through. Here's how I got on an oil derrick in the Gulf of Mexico. And here's how you can do it. Like, those things, there's so much information that's out there. The information is out there, but the effort and the drive is not. And you can't manufacture that. And so that's something that you have to find from within. And if you can't find it in yourself, then poke around the internet and eventually you'll find an interview or someone that resonates with you, and the transference will happen.
2021 has been a big year for Roy's job fair, and we love what we're hearing so far. What does the future hold?
I'd say the only real big thing for the podcast is more visual elements. You know, we eventually, or at least I eventually, would love to see this on television. I think it's something that's quick, concise, and simple that could be done in 30 minutes and be entertaining. But before TV comes the internet. So, you know, we'll try and, you know, we've spent this time right now just getting our sea legs, you know, shaking it off a little bit and really getting the tempo and tone of the show down. And then we'll start integrating in a few more video elements. And then hopefully in 2022, you'll see me on CNBC with all the stock number stuff.
That's a whole new audience for sure, Roy.
Yeah, just cover me in graphics.
Thanks again for joining us on Ready for Work. We're excited for your success and thankful for the help you provide to working learners.
I appreciate you all for having me on. You know, just the daily show is at 11 o'clock. If you're into it, great. If not, just set the DVR so I still get the rating point. And then you can delete it in the morning.
For sure.
Yeah, and that's it. Roy's Job Fair, wherever you download all of your other podcasts.
We've enjoyed a refreshing take on humor and relatability and workforce development with Roy Wood Jr. I want to give a shout out of appreciation to my colleague here at ACT, Chris Kazayu, for connecting us with Roy. Thanks for joining us on episode 28, our kickoff for season 3, and a big year ahead for the workforce ecosystem. Check out the links in our show notes to Roy's Job Fair. We'll include some helpful links on workforce solutions and work-ready communities as well to make the most of the recovery momentum ahead.
Ready for Work is a service from your friends at ACT, a mission-driven nonprofit organization dedicated to helping people achieve education and workplace success. Discover more online at act.org/readyforworkpodcast.
Now, let's get to work.